Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger. I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is the divine reminder and comforter and warning in our midst. And it is my distinct honor to greet all of you once again in our nation's greeting words of peace of Assalamu alaikum.
Wow, alaikum salam, yes, there.
Thank you, thank you. Welcome back to Nation Building Presents. And this is part two of the trials of marriage, of course. Last week, I know some of you may have expected us to talk about the trials of marriage, but we had a surprise anniversary celebration for Student Minister Stanley and Sister Ruth. And so this week, we're going to put them to work since they had a break last week. So, but thank you to the Minister Stanley and Sister Ruth for joining us once again. And I am here with my partner in righteousness, not in crime, but in righteousness, Brother Kadeem Amir Muhammad. And so we want to inform the listening audience tonight that, you know, we know that sometimes marriage gets tough. And some of you may be struggling, and some of you may be doing that in silence. But we are here to help you. And so if you should have questions pertaining to your own situation and you want to remain anonymous, you can ask questions and remain anonymous. We will not ask you for your name or your city or anything of that nature, but we want to extend the hand of brotherhood and sisterhood to you so that we can save our families, save our marriages as the cornerstone of our nation. So I am not going to delay any further, and I want to first introduce, like I said, my partner in righteousness, Brother Kadeem Amir Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am, and Brother Stanley, Sister Ruth, and to our listening audience, this topic tonight is an excellent topic to be discussed, because what we find to be a difficulty is the ability to find balance between marriage, the mission, work, and all these other things where no one is actually feeling neglected, in addition to the other natural trials that come with marriage. And also sometimes in our growth and our development, we may oftentimes bring extra baggage that's not even necessary to the marriage. And that, along with the various different things that our further study is talking about with respect to bringing balance, may add an overwhelming weight to the shoulders of both the husband and the wife. And if you have children, things become just exacerbated. You don't feel like you got enough time for this, that, the other. But at the root of it all, the key thing that I think we have to talk about, and we will make points on and definitely like to hear from our listening audience, is our marriage is the foundation, of our marriage a lot. How did it start? Did it start in a proper courtship? Did it start sexual? How did it actually start? Because without a strong foundation, a building will, over time will crumble and fall because it can't take pressure. Likewise, without a proper and right and strong foundation, marriages too will also crumble. So these are some of the things that we may talk about tonight. And again, whatever we get from our listening audience, we'll be looking forward to a very exciting show. And so right now, I want to turn back over to my dear sister so we can hear from our other panelists, and then we can get the ball rolling.
Yes, sir, absolutely. And, of course, we're going to yield to the Queen, Sister Ruth Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, dear sister. How are you this evening?
This is the Queen. This is not Sister Ruth. This is Brother Stanley.
Oh, she's not on yet. Okay.
Yeah, she would join us momentarily. And so if you don't mind, I can begin if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely, dear brother. Yes, sir.
Well, I would like to, first of all, of course, start off in the most holy name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, the All-Wise, True, and Living God, the Send of all prophets, the Reveal of all truth. And we can never thank God enough for raising up Moses and giving us the Torah, and raising up Jesus and giving us the gospel, and raising up Muhammad and giving us the Holy Quran. Peace be upon these worthy servants of Almighty God, Allah. But if we live to be 1,000, we can never thank Allah enough for his divine intervention in our affairs as black people in the hills of North America, in the persons of Master Farad Muhammad, the perfection of God, and he loving us so much that he chose from among us the exalted Christ that the whole world had been looking for, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, which was a great demonstration of his power, taking the bottom rail and raising him to the top, even higher than the holy wise scientists. We thank Allah and His exalted Christ for leaving in the absence of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, that vicar of Christ, our dear holy apostle in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, whom I am a student of. I would like to greet you, Sister Queen, Brother Kadeem, and your wonderful listening audience in the greeting words of peace in the Arabic language of Assalamu Alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
That you all are in the best of health and spirit, Sister Queen. Thank you once again for inviting my wife and myself to the one these wonderful airwaves, that we can be able to combat Satan, go to war with Satan, because Satan is polluting the airwaves through the radio, through the internet, through the TV, and polluting our minds, causing marriages to break up by what we hear in the rap song and the R&B, what we are watching on Scandal and these other TV shows of debauchery, and what we are seeing on the internet tonight on the Nation Building Movement radio blog show hosted by our wonderful hostess and co-host, Sister Queen Aziza and Brother Kadeem. We are going to go to war with Satan tonight with the help of Allah.
That's
and we're
right.
going to war to save our marriages, because there's nothing impossible. Allah destroyed the impossibility when He created Himself. So there's nothing in your marriage that you are faced with that's impossible to overcome.
That's right. That's right.
Long as you believe in Allah. And when you believe in Allah and put your trust in Him, as it says in the Holy Quran, chapter 13, verse 28, surely in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find rest. I'm going to say that again. Surely in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find rest. If tonight you find your heart is not at rest with your marriage, if you just focus on the words of Allah that we will share tonight and remember Him and put your trust and faith in Him, there's nothing impossible that you're faced with in your marriage. Because when you limit the possibility that you can prevail in your marriage, facing the monumental impediment in front of you, what you're doing when you turn your heels on your marriage, you're saying God is not able. God is not able to repair my marriage. I'm here to tell you tonight, and my wife is here to tell you tonight, Sister Queen is here to tell you tonight, Brother Kadeem is here to tell you tonight, God is able.
That's right.
You have enough love and strength in your heart.
That's right.
To fight for your marriage. Or it might feel like the ninth round. And you're fighting, you know, a Mayweather component. I mean, Satan sometimes feel like, you know, like, man, shoot, I can't fight this dude.
Come on.
No, you can't fight him, but Allah can.
That's right.
That's right.
You got to step the way and let God do the battle, and you have to let Him come in you, and the only way God can come in you is through love.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
The degree you love Him, that's the degree He comes in your person.
That's right.
And the Holy Quran says it is not you that slayed him. Allah said, it's I that slayed him at your hand. You got to slay adultery. You got to slay lust. You have to slay lying and cheating and deceitfulness in your marriage in order for Allah to prevail in your marriage, in order for you to find rest in your spouse. And the only way you can find rest in your spouse,
come on, brother,
spouse has to really bow down with those who bow down. You have to pray to Allah as a spouse and beg him to change your nigga ways.
Come on, brother.
Beg him to loose you from the ghetto mentality. Beg him to make you like his anointed servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because if he did it for him, he can do it for you and me. And that's what I would like to say as my intro, Sister Queen. But I got the Queen Ruth here.
Yes.
Go ahead, brother.
She's sitting on her throne now, so.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Well, Sister Queen Ruth, come on for a moment and give us an opening. I'm not going to ask you to introduce yourself because we all know who you are, sis. So just come and share a few opening words with us.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I want to greet all the beautiful believers, the friends, panelists, everyone that's on the air. In the greeting words of peace, of assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum
salam.
I would like to say that it's an honor, Sister Queen, for us to be on this talk show to share our experiences that my husband and I have experienced through our years of marriage. You know, it's a blessing and an honor, and it's and I say that because, you know, like my husband said, that, you know, beautiful marriages do exist, you know, and they can survive. And we want to share our stories and our life experiences in our marriage so that we can help others so they can be able to, you know, see we have successful marriages and we don't have to give in or give up, you know, on one another, you know. And the beauty about it is that we grow together, you know, closer and closer when we overcome, you know, those trials that come into our life. It's like, you know, you're becoming closer with each other. You love each other more, you know, because you have been tested and been found true. And when you've been tested and been found true, then that person knows they have someone that will lay their life on the line for them. You know, how I know, you know, my husband got my back. You know, we always talk them war stories. Oh, you know, I got your back. When we get, you know, when we go fighting or we go to war, I got your back. How I know you got my back is by how, you know, how much you walk with me, even in my shortcomings, even when I'm not so pretty.
Come on, sis.
You know, so that's what I see, that, you know, marriage is that's how you know someone got your back. When no matter what you and that person experienced or went through that, you know, was hurtful, you know, devastating, it was all right because you both overcame it. Now you know that person got your back. So I know Brother Stanley Muhammad got my back. And I got his back. You know, and that's what they used to say. ride or die. See, that's what real riding for life, riding to the cause of Allah, you know, and we'll die for this, you know. So that's what that really means. It's not just words, but it's living it.
Right, right.
You know. Yes, ma'am, and that's what I have to say in my introduction, Sister Queen.
Yes, ma'am, all praises due to Allah. That's enough. That's enough. All praises due to Allah. Okay, well, Sister Ruth, you know, I really want the audience to participate, but we're talking about the trials that some of our marriages go through. And I guess I'll go first, and then I'll let Brother Kadeem follow up after me. And I would think, just in the beginning of our marriages, one of the hardest things that we have to really go through is the adjustment. For us who have been single for a long time, you know, we got to turn the I into us and into we, into ours, instead of I, mine, and me. And, you know, that is a transformation, believe it or not, that a lot of people have a problem with. And most of the time, it could be on a financial basis. I'm just going to put that out there. It's not so much a territorial type thing, but I know I've heard sisters say, I'm not going to get a joint bank account with my husband. My money is my money. His money is his money and my money too, or whatever. But, you know, we have to realize that our spouses are not our competitors, that they are actually our teammates. And
that's right.
When there is a lack of trust or a lack of unification in the beginning, I believe that that wears on a marriage. So, Brother Stanley, I'm going to start with you. Why don't you explain to us, how do we really make the adjustment and really unite on all fronts as a couple?
Well, the main thing is you have to actually be able to know the difference between the attitude of Satan and the attitude of God. The ministers say that when he first got married, and he had to leave music and go into the workforce, he was very poor. And Mother Claire Muhammad came to his house, and when she began to cry, he was so poor. And the minister had no clue why she was crying, because he was happy with his Islam. Mother Khadija was happy and he was happy. She never complained about the money. She never complained about the poverty, because it was an attitude. And the attitude is that I have Islam. And when you have Islam, you have everything. When you have God, you have everything. And when you live within your means, you're at peace. Because we're taught by the most honorable Elijah Muhammad that debt is slavery. See, all I'm talking about is the proper attitude here. And so here we are. We're dealing with the attitude here. One second, please. All right. We're dealing with an attitude here, pardon me, that is proper, that's just, that's from the mind of God when you deal with money. The minister said the diameter of your paycheck prescribes the circumference of your spending habit. But if Satan puts in your heart, in my heart, I want a Mercedes-Benz, but your paycheck says Ford. And then you let your desires become your God. That's when the adjustment has to take place. you have to really adjust with the word of God and take the word out and say, what does the word say? See? You can't live beyond your means and expect to have a happy marriage.
Come on, Brother.
If your husband don't have big money, then the wife got to have big patience. And she has to put her desires within the means of that brother's paycheck. So I say, Sister Queen, is that when you have that mindset, my money is my money, your money is our money. Well, that's true. That's the teachings. But how do you say it? How do you convey it? With a black man that's making less money than you as a woman, and then he's struggling to pay the bills while your account is hoarding, do you love your husband enough to kick in? If he's a righteous man and he's striving, honey, I'm going to help you. And the man will see that as being a blessing. And when she's helping him, then he reciprocates. He might cook something one night. He might kick in and clean the house for her and give her a break or give her a foot massage. You know what I'm saying? But that's what you call partnership. Marriage is teamwork. It's not about, you know, that's your duty and this is my duty. No, it's teamwork.
That's right.
See? So that's what's important. You got to go into the marriage with the right motive, like Brother Kadeem said. And the motive of why you come together with her determines how long your relationship will last.
Go ahead, brother.
You know,
yes,
that's important.
Absolutely.
So that's what I would say. The adjustment, you should not go in with adjustment if you both go in with the attitude of God. Because in Arabic, you know, marriage is called consentment, agreement. I mean, you already came to an agreement before you got married. You don't get married and then come to an agreement.
Right.
You don't buy a car after you buy the car, then he gives you the agreement. No, you have the agreement terms, and you sign the terms, and then you get the car, and then you have to live according to the agreement. If not, your car won't be repossessed. Same thing with a house. That's how marriage is. You have to know what your terms and conditions are in your marriage before you go into marriage. Then you don't have no adjustment. You already, your mind's already set on you making your word bond. But see, the adjustment comes in, Sister Queen, when we lie. When we're not sincere.
That's right.
We got hidden motives and hidden agendas, and then you give your word, and then when you say I do, and you get in the marriage, and the sex, you had the sex, and your sex might not be as good as you wanted it to be, or whatever. You ain't seen it with no clothes on. She might have a scar, or he might have a scar. You might discover something that make you want to recant on your word.
Come on,
and you start finding excuses to get out. I see that a lot, too. It's really not adjustment. They just start, they create argument. They create a problem deliberately to make that person look bad to the world and say she's not all what she said she was, or he's not all what he said he is. See, the games people play, Sister Queen, that's why the minister said he don't do marriages no more, because they lie too much.
That's right. That's what he said.
He do funerals because they honest. They dead for real. They ain't lying.
Right. Oh, he ain't coming back. He dead. That's right.
That's right.
That's what
right.
I would say to that, Sister Queen.
Praise be.
That's all. I think that's enough right now.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask Sister Ruth, do you have anything you want to add to that? Sister Rose?
Yes, I argue with my husband.
Hey. I'm sorry, Sister Rose, you're breaking up. We can't hear you.
Yes,
that when you love someone, you know, you don't mind helping. And
right.
I think that that's what, you know, my husband is saying, that, you know, it has to be love in the relationship, you know, and like my husband said, it has to begin with an agreement. And what is that agreement, you know? And Allah, you know, has already given us an agreement. And if we just follow his way, then we will be successful. And that's what I have
yes,
to
ma'am.
Say.
Ma'am. Our praises to Torah. Okay, Brother Kadeem, you have a question for our expert panelist here?
I actually do. I mean, as I was listening to our dear brother, Brother Stanley, several points came to mind, and inshallah we'll get to many of them. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that there are three things the white man will never teach us. One, which is relevant to what we're talking about, is the science of mating. And prior to that, I want to ask if Brother Stanley can speak on something here. I think for the most part, we don't know how to choose a mate, because we see a brother and a sister, or see a brother and say, oh, he's handsome. Or we see a sister, oh, she's beautiful. But that's just the physical. How would you suggest, Brother Stanley, for those that are listening, process should we use to choose properly?
Well, I would say that the Holy Quran in Surah 30, verse 21, Allah says he chose mates for us from among ourselves, that we may find quietness of mind in them. And he put between them love and compassion. The science of mating, the root of science is mathematics. And mathematics is designed for you to find agreement or truth. And when we look at the book of Amos, 3 verse 3, it asks a question. Can two people walk together unless they are agreed? And the Honorable Mrs. Farrakhan says, Brother Kadeem, agreement is the basis of love. Now here, in that surah, 30 and 21, and then you look at the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 3, about agreement. See, all of that is a science. When you say you choose a mate from among yourself, that means you have to first have to study yourself. That's what we don't do. Who are you as a man? And once you know who you are, your weaknesses and your strengths, then you know as a man what your vision is in life. Then you know how to choose a mate from among yourself, meaning that you actually know you lack. And your spouse or your mate is to compensate what you lack. And the best a pictorial that I can give you is the scriptures, the prophets of God. Look at Moses. This is a spiritual mating that the Lord of the worlds puts together in with prophets of God. All prophets of God had helpers. And that's what a woman is. She's a helpmeet. Now here Moses is the chief man. He's the chief prophet. And God raised up Moses. But what was Moses' inadequacy? He knew his inadequacy. He told him, look, man, I can't speak well. Mm-hmm. He knew, he studied himself. He knew he had a speech impediment. So he said, look, I got a brother named Aaron. He got an eloquent tongue. Give me him as an aider. So here the law of unlike attracts and like repels. See, when you always choose a mate from the physical and the emotional and not the science and mathematics, then you get in bed and when the emotions of sex dies out, you say, damn, you just like me. Because like repels. Hmm. You don't like math, I don't like math. You can't read, I can't read. See? What's the attraction there?
Right.
It's not there.
That's right.
The only thing that was attracted you was the stilettos and the fake lashes and the extensions and her boobs and butt was showing. That's the only thing that attracted you. It was not
that's
science
right.
and mathematics there. That was an animalistic attraction. And then sex is good. You think you in love, but that going way out after the second time, the third time, you're like, damn, it's the same thing. And then you try to meet the minds, and the minds don't match. Then you look at Moses and Aaron. See, God put them together, but Moses had enough self-examination that he knew what he lacked and knew what kind of helper he needed. To get the job done that God put on his shoulders. Now, what do you as a man need as a helper? Hell, you don't know because you ain't looked in the mirror. I'm not talking about the physical mirror, your muscles or your haircut or your mustache. Hell, we do that
right.
all day long.
That's right.
That don't keep no marriage.
That's right.
It attracts the woman, but it don't keep her.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Look into your brain, look into your mind, and see your inadequacy, and then look into that woman's mind and see what she has, what you lack. And there you'll find compatibility.
That's
how I'll answer that.
Well, praise be to Allah. And thank brother, it's so much wisdom in what it is that you actually shared, you know, and we can always parse those words and go deeper. But I would also like to ask your wife, because we should always expect this from a sister. So, Sister Ruth, how do you think we should go about the process of choosing a mate?
From a sister's point of view, that, you know, is in Islam. They're studying the way of God, striving to live upright. I would say that his duty to God, that's number one. You know, what is his duty to God? How is he internalizing the mission? Not talking the mission, but living the mission. You know, observe the brother from far away. And see, you know, is that brother, does he play around with sisters? Is he flirtation, you know? Is he, you know, a spiritual brother? Is he uplifting? Does he uplift believers, you know, with the spirit? Is he a studious brother? Is he a knowledgeable brother? You know, is he a charitable brother? Does he feel the pain of the believers? You know, is he a hear and obey brother? That's how I would see, you know, I would look. If, you know, my husband was out there and I was, you know, seeing what brother qualifies, I would look directly at him. My eyes would directly go.
That's right.
That's right. You know, because he is, I mean, he really has shown me an example of a good FOI, a good God-fearing man. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So,
that's right.
And that's the first thing that I would want is a God-fearing man. You know, someone that submits his will to do the will of God. Because I know that if he submits his will to do the will of God, then whatever God teaches him about the woman, then he's going to strive finding himself, you know, to do for that woman. You know, and I mean, if you read the scriptures and it talks about, you know, the good husbandmen and the bad husbandmen,
you know,
and the bad ones kill the crop.
That's right.
You know, but the good ones, you know, they took care of the vineyard. You know, so I know that if he is following God, he going to take care of me. He going to strive, you know, to take care of my mind spiritually, to maintain me. You know, it might not be, you know, what the world, you know, thinks that success is about, having a big house, a big car. That's not success. You know, real success is the way you follow God. That is success. See, we measure success based upon this, you know, Satan's world.
That's
right. We are in the world, but we're not of the world.
Come on.
So I'm okay not to have that, you know, 18-room mansion. I'm fine with that. Because what good is a 18-room mansion when you ain't happy in it? Because you don't have God. So, but I can be in a one-bedroom and be happy, at peace with my sugar. My husband who's trying to be upright. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I would choose a mate. I would go first, not for financial, you know, because I've seen sisters that help good brothers, you know, that didn't have financial, you know, the money. You know, they didn't have the materialistic things. The sisters were the ones that had the little wealth. They had the materialistic things, and they married good brothers, telling them sisters work, the brothers work, and it worked because they loved Allah, and they knew that they were married to good brothers who were striving in the way of God. And they know that, you know, when Allah blesses their husband will give it all to them.
That's right.
You know, I know if my husband was a millionaire, it would be in my hands.
That's right.
You know, so I know that that's what Allah produces in that man. When he loves God, then he loves everything that God loves. And God loves the woman. He loves that black woman, you know, and the blessings come when that black man takes care, protects, uplifts, respects that black woman. You know, so that's what I would say, brother.
Praise be to Allah, sister.
Say something, brother. Kadeem.
Yes, sir.
Compatibility. I want to give a scripture real quickly about compatibility. The minister said this also, that 50% of the compatibility is your belief.
That's right.
That's half the compatibility. That's half the science of mating. All right. And this is what the 50% looks like in Surah 33, verse 35. Surely the men who submit and the women who submit and the believing men and the believing women, in the obeying men and the obeying women, and the truthful men and the truthful women, and the patient men and the patient women, and the humble men and the humble women, and the charitable men and the charitable women, and the fasting men and the fasting women, and the men who guard their chastity and the women who guard, and the men who remember Allah much, and the women who remember Allah has prepared for them forgiveness and a mighty reward. That's spiritual compatibility.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes,
that brings to mind two things, Brother Stanley, where it says marriage is one half of your faith.
That's right.
And then on the other hand, where it says, be ye
spiritually yoked. And it is only when we don't think, but those two thoughts came to mind as you were just reading that Surah 33, Ayat 35. That was Ayat 35 that you were just reading. I mean, that's just a powerful scripture. And these are things that we must certainly take into consideration when we're choosing a mate. Least our children suffer, our nation suffer. And that's what we have to fight against today. Sister Queen, I wanted to ask you, though, is there anyone, before we, like, really get deep into this thing, anyone on the chat line that have a question or on the line that may have a question?
Oh, there are a lot of questions in the chat room, but let me remind the listening audience by phone, since there's so many of you from all over. If you have a question or you have a comment, please press 1 on your dial pad. We want to hear from you. If you want to share something with us, how you overcame something, press 1 on your dial pad. We want to hear from you. And we have a question from Sandra, Brother Stanley and Sister Ruth, that, wow. She don't mind me giving her name, but she says she just want to mention her husband's name. She says, my husband and I plan to have a family, but after 4 years, I have yet to become pregnant. I have been to the doctor, had surgeries with the understanding that the chances are slim. Every time I ask him how he feels about us not being able to have children or adoption, he refuses to talk about it and walks away. How can I finally get him to sit down and have this conversation with me?
Good question. Good question. Well, come on, Brother Stanley. We'll wait for you.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
We sure will.
I would say to
it reminds me of the Bible.
Sister Sandra. It reminds me of the scripture,
yes,
of Penah,
mm-hmm.
who
mm-hmm.
was barren. While he was talking, I wanted to turn to it and read it so her and her husband can read it to give her faith.
That's right.
That, you know, God's going to try you
mm-hmm.
in a way that, you know, you know not. In all time, he tries you with that which you love to see if you love, you know, that which he's trying you with more than him.
Mm.
Will you turn your heels because God won't bless you with a child? So in 1 Samuel, Elkanah had two wives. And I just want to read this real briefly to you, Sister Sandra. And I would recommend you read this to your husband. And then you all discuss how strong is your faith in God, because God's going to try you
mm-hmm.
and see how faithful you are.
Right.
Because you can't walk by sight. You have to walk by faith and lean not on your own understanding, but lean on God's understanding, and then he will direct your path.
Go ahead, yes.
But if you make your doctors a god beside God,
that's right,
and you put more faith in what the doctors are doing and what they're saying,
then God said,
go ahead, let your doctor be your god.
Yes.
But I show Penah didn't go to no doctor. Penah went to the temple. I'm going to show you this now.
Sarah too.
We're going to talk about Penah here now. Look at this now. This is 1 Samuel chapter 1. And Elkanah had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other was Penah. And Penah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons, Eli and Hophni, and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Penah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters in portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb, and her adversity also provoked her sore, for to make her freight, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so yearly, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? Now she's depressed now because Sis Queen, as a counselor, you know, when you don't eat and you weep and you grieve, that's depression. And her and Elkanah really showed favor towards her because she knew that she actually felt bad because she couldn't bear any children. But here Elkanah trying to cheer his wife up, and this is what your husband should do for you. He should try to have that same love and compassion and spirit towards you as Elkanah, a man of God, had towards Hannah. He said, am I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten into Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid. Now she's praying. Huh? And remember me and not forget thy handmaiden, but will give unto thine handmaiden a man-child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, and she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunken neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaiden for a daughter of Belial. Belial is Satan in another language. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hereto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thy handmaiden find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, and she bare a son, and called him Samuel, because I have asked him of the Lord. Now, what is that saying?
A lot.
Hey, I know that's a lot of reading, but it's not a lot. But think about this. This woman, her desire was so strong to bear a child, to please God. She vowed that she, if God blessed her womb, then she would give that child to God, and there would be no razor that would touch his head. And God answered her prayer. And when she got finished praying, now Eli told her that God was going to answer your prayer. Then she ate. Then she was happy again. The depression was gone because she had faith in God's priest.
That's right. That's
and
right.
Then when Elkanah, her husband, laid down with her, she conceived and called him Samuel, which means what? God answered her. See?
Mm-hmm.
Now here we are in a time where in the table talk, Sister Queen, Sister Captain, was very productive, and the messenger was pleased with her. And he said, are you married? She said, yes. Do you have children? She said, no. He said, you have no children? And she said, no, dear Holy Apostle. He said, well, you go to your husband and tell him around this time this year, you will have some children, says Elijah Muhammad. You know that sister bore children?
Oh, praise
he is that
God.
Eli, that priest, that prayed for her womb.
Come on
talk
now.
About it.
And
talk
because
about
that sister believed in Elijah, believed in the man of God. See, you can't be no woman believing in Satan's world. You got to believe in a man of God and the Lord of the worlds who made your womb.
That's right.
And you got to dedicate that child to God, and you and your husband will conceive a child if it be the will of God.
Right.
And sister, praise some trees bear fruit and some trees give shade. Every tree don't bear fruit. Maybe you a tree to give shade and give comfort to children, give comfort to those who don't have parents.
That's right.
All children from God. And if you love God, you love all children, like it comes from your womb. And that's how I would answer that. All praises are due to Allah.
That was a very powerful
Sister Ruth? Yes, that was. That is just true witness bearing right there. And Sister Ruth, you being a woman and a mother of nine, what would you say to this sister?
You know, I would say to her is to seek refuge in Allah through patience and prayer. And, you know, I would say that, you know, she has to be in submission to Allah's will. And we have to pray to Allah, Allah, what is your will for me? Is your will for me, you know, not to give birth to a child? You know, and if it is his will for me, then his will I accept because I am his. And whatever Allah pleases to do with me, I submit. See, we have to be willing to give our mind totally to him. Because he is the source of her not getting pregnant. You know, and that's what we got to look at. What, who is, you know, why is you not getting pregnant? It all goes back to Allah. It is his will right now that she's not expecting or that she has not bare children. You know, so then you have to, you know, seek his understanding. Seek his wisdom, you know, and only patience will bring that to you. Only being patient, grateful to Allah that you have, you know, life, you're in good health, that you are, you know, a striving believer, that you have the knowledge of God, you have the knowledge of, you know, your open enemy. We are so blessed. And like my husband said, I mean, you know, mother is not just about giving birth. Mother is about raising up children spiritually. You know, what type of woman are you? Are you a woman that gives life to the believers? Are you a woman that gives life to the people of God? And if you are, then you are a mother. That's right.
You know, so I would say to my sister is that seek refuge in Allah. Know that it is Allah that has you in that condition. And like the minister said, question Allah in the best of manners. You know, and your husband, if he's a believer, he has to do the same. He has to know that it is Allah's will for this period of time. You know, and whatever Allah will for me, I submit, Allah, because I want to do whatever you want me to do. Use me as a slave. I want to be your slave, Allah. I want to be your tool. What do you want from me, Allah? What do you want me to be able to teach my people? You know, and that's the spirit they have to have, is that their total submission is to Allah. And whatever Allah brings into their life, then they have to accept it. Because when we don't accept what Allah wills for us, then we will never, ever be at peace. But when we accept his will, then Allah will bring peace into our lives. You know, yeah. So I just pray to, you know, pray for the sister that, you know, she will seek refuge in Allah and being patient and keeping her prayer, her communication with Allah, as well as her encourage her husband to do the same.
Praise be to Allah.
And let me remind the listening audience, because my ticker is turned over again, so if you have a question, and you can press one on your dial pad. If you wish to remain anonymous, you don't have to give your name. Let me remind you that we are here to help. So if you have some issues or just a question about something, please press one on your dial pad. There's so many of y'all on the phone. I know y'all not going to sit here and be quiet all night. I know that. So, you know, please, people, we are trying to strengthen our nation, and it starts by strengthening our marriages, strengthening our families. And,
Brother Kadeem, I'm going to go ahead and ask this question, and then you get ready to ask yours, because
I want to talk about these third parties in these marriages, Sister Ruth and Brother Stanley. You know, when we start to interject other people into our marriages, and sometimes it could be in-laws, it could be best friends, you know, our buddies, our pals, whatever you want to call them. And I want to talk briefly about how that interferes with a marriage, because personally I just don't see the point in discussing the intimate details of my marriage with my so-called best friend or my mother or my cousin, or, you know, is there not counsel for me? And so what often happens is that there's a damaging effect that takes place, because a person is perceiving the spouse to be one way or another way based on details that have been shared that should have never come outside of the marriage. So I'm going to go to you first, Sister Ruth. What about that third party that creeps up into the marriage?
That's a good question.
I'm sorry, we
Did
had to take it off.
Oh,
but,
we lost you, sister.
No, sir. If it's, you know, we should always seek knowledge. And, you know, knowledge can come from a friend. It can come from a parent. You know, it can come from other believers. You know, when you know that it's good advice, you know, they're giving you what thus said the Lord, not what their opinion is or what they think, then you accept that. But when it comes to their opinion or what they're, you know, what they think, you know, it's best to keep them out of your relationship. You know, and one thing I'll say, I know with my husband and I, when we were
in our early years of marriage, even before we got married. You know, his mother wanted my husband to, you know, marry someone else. And the type of person she is, she made, you know, she made it be known that she didn't like me, you know. And she had a smart mouth. She still does, but not to that extent. And I'm telling you, sometimes she was just, you know, just talk so divisive, you know. But one thing I could say about my husband is that he didn't allow it. You know, it was like, that's right. You know, he would stop her in her tracks. And that's what, you know, helped me to love him even more, because I seen that he stood up for me, you know, against his family, his sisters, his mother, you know. And it made me feel good that, you know, those are his family, but his love showed that they're not going to mistreat my wife because, you know, they feel different or they have their own ideas of what, you know, it should be like, you know. And I think that's, you know, what really helped me was to just hear him stand up for me. And I did the same thing for him, you know, in regards to my mother. You know, I made sure, you know, she knew you're not going to talk down about my husband. You're not going to put garbage in my ear about my husband. And that's what right. We have to be in relationships, is that we can't allow no one on the outside put garbage in our ears about our spouses. You know, we have to be strong enough to say, sister, that's my husband. And I love that man, and that man is striving to be upright. Who are you to judge my husband? See, we got to be able to put people in check, you know? And it's not good for you to tell people your business that is not there to counsel you in the way of God, because they not, especially if they're single, don't try to seek no advice from those single people, because they don't understand the journey of marriage.
Right.
And that's why they still single, because they're going to give you their opinion, their understanding, and you're going to wind up like them. And you never going to get in the process of marriage, you know. Mm-hmm. So you don't involve those people into your relationship, because right. They can't understand that we all have struggles to overcome in the relationship. That's natural. You know, it's natural for my husband and I to have disagreements sometimes. That's a natural thing. But the way we handle our disagreements, the way that we overcome them, not give up or not give in. You know, the minister said, the reason Prophet Muhammad said that, may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon him, said that, you know, marriage is half our faith. Because the minister said, if you can't struggle in marriage, you ain't going to struggle with God.
Come on.
See, just like you trying to become one with your mate, guess what? That's the same journey that you're going to have to go through to become one with God. Mm. See, you got to let go of them old ways. You got to, you know, deny yourself to get with God.
Mm.
So if you're not willing to do that in your marriage, guess what? You ain't going to do it with God. You know, so that's why we don't allow people to come into our marriages that are not going to benefit us. So we go seek counsel with believers who are striving in the struggle, just like you, who are good examples. You don't see the husband is a, you know, a gigolo. You don't see the wife loose. You know, you go seek counsel from believers that you see that are striving and are good examples of marriage and good examples of, you know, family in Islam, you know, family in God, you know. We seek counsel from them, but not from the other one. So that's what I would say, a brother.
Yes. Praise be to Allah. Praise.
And Brother Stanley?
Yes, I would say this, Sister Queen. The Bible says this in the book of Genesis. It says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his wife, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Mm. And then in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, it speaks about, it says the same thing, but it says that whom God puts together, let no man put asunder.
That's right.
See? No man. Yes. So that you're supposed to leave your mother and father and cleave to your wife and you be one flesh. There should be no difference between you and your wife.
Right.
Now, if you seek counsel, the Bible also says, Sister Queen, in the book of Proverbs, the 11 verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall. Well, we should seek counsel if you have a disagreement and you can't reconcile, because the Holy Quran says and agrees with the Bible in chapter 4, the third section, disagreement between husband and wife. I think it's the third section or the sixth section. Let me just check and see. But there's a whole section, sixth section, disagreement between husband and wife. And what God says, you should have an arbiter, mm-hmm. one from your people and one from her people. It can simply mean an MGT and an FOI if you're a believer in the Nation of Islam. But a married believing couple.
That's right.
So that sister can be one who can articulate the views of the wife, and that brother can articulate the views of the husband from an unbiased standpoint, using the word of God as the criterion, being like that blindfolded woman with the balanced scale. Don't see male nor female. Don't see this is my sister, this is my FOI homie I'm hanging out with in FOI class. None of that biasness. Just want to see God's will be done.
That's
right. A good couple. That you should be able to sit down with and reconcile whatever difference you might have. But now look at here. In the book of Psalms, first chapter. See, Sister Queen, it's very important to give people references that they can go home and they can study.
Mm-hmm.
Because
right.
if they're believers in God, you know, they don't want to hear what your opinion is. This is a problem in relationship. You got too much opinion and not enough, thus saith the Lord.
That's right.
That's not,
come on,
that's not a man's woman. She's God's woman.
Mm-hmm.
And if she's God's woman, God knows best how to manage that woman to get the best out of that woman. That's not woman's man. That's God's man.
Right.
And if you know nothing about the word of God, then that's the reason why your relationship is going to hell.
That's right.
Because when problems come up, like my wife said, they're going to come up. The Holy Quran says in Surah 4, verse 59, Brother Kadeem, when two believers quarrel, refer to God and his messenger. But what if you don't have any knowledge of what God says about this particular problem?
You ain't going to die right.
See? Then it's best to be still.
Mm.
And call somebody who are good counselors, who are not biased, but love God's will to be done, and call them, and you sit down with them, and let them show you what thus saith the Lord.
That's right.
And you have enough faith and trust in God, and you follow his guidance. Look at what it says in Psalms, and I'm going to close on this one, Sister Queen, I promise you. Whoa, I got to close on one more. Blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly.
That's right.
I'm going to say that again. Blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. So look at the person you're counseling.
That's
That's right.
Like my wife said, if she's single, always hitting the club, and she got five different men, and you calling her for advice, well, no wonder your relationship going to hell.
Yeah.
If you call your frat partner who's single, or he's married but yet and still got five different women around town, and he hitting the club, and you calling him just because that's your frat brother, you taking advice from him, no wonder why your relationship is going to hell, because you're taking counsel from the ungodly.
Go ahead.
Nor stand in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Mm. Don't let no one scorn your husband.
That's right.
Scorn your wife.
That's right.
You don't sit there and listen to people scorn your spouse. Because if you sit there and you listen to it and you don't refute it, therefore that means you agree with them. And then if you agree with them, then eventually you start scorning your spouse, and your spouse says, where is it coming from?
That's right.
It's coming from that person that they're hanging out with. And that's why 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, in a New International Translation says, Sister Queen, bad company corrupts good character.
That's right.
You throw a rotten apple in a barrel of good apples, what's going to happen to them good apples? They're going to become rotten.
That's right.
What happened to your good husband? Your good husband done turned bad because he hanging around with a nigga in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to your good wife? Your good wife turned to a whore because she hanging out with a woman who's a whore in the streets.
Right.
In the name of this is my high school partner. I don't give a damn that's your high school partner. We one flesh.
Come on.
Do you love that high school partner more than you love me? Didn't we not make an agreement, a contract with each other that we are one?
Under God.
Keep it real, brother. Keeping it real.
You got to be firm when it comes to the truth. You can't let no one see any kind of weakness when it comes to the truth. You stand firm on that truth. Say either you're about the marriage or you're not about the marriage.
That's right.
See? So I would say that, and you know, Miriam had this problem, sister. I mean, Moses had this problem with Miriam and Aaron. Aaron married I'm not going to read it. Miriam, my wife laughed and said, thank God. We got people going to ask questions. But look at here, Sister Queen.
You ain't right.
Sister Queen, look at here.
Yes, sir.
In the book of Numbers, I want to give this to your listening audience on this subject.
Mm-hmm.
In the book of Numbers, chapter 12, you know, Moses married an Ethiopian sister, and Miriam and Aaron start talking about him because who he married. Read it for yourself in the Numbers book, Numbers chapter 12, and God came down and cursed Miriam and gave her leprosy. And Moses had to pray to God to forgive Miriam for murmuring against him and his wife.
Think about that. Don't play with that.
So if you murmur against a lawful married couple who is striving to live up to God, you will expect a curse.
That's right.
From God.
Yes.
Because marriage is an institution established by God, and when you mock someone who's trying to walk the straight and narrow, well, you are mocking God.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
That's what I have to say on that, Sister Queen. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Okay, we're going to go to the phone lines, dear Brother Kadeem. When we take this question, I'm going to let you ask the question, then we got some more in the chat. So I want to encourage the rest of you to press 1 on your dial pad if you have a question. Okay, area code 609, your mic is live. Area code 609, go on 1.
The last four.
8776, is that you? Okay.
There's another caller.
Hold on.
Man.
Okay, hold on. Oh, don't. I need to refresh my screen. Let me go to Brother Kadeem, and then we'll come back and take a question out of the chat room. Brother Kadeem, go ahead. I got to refresh my screen.
Yes, ma'am. We definitely can do that. And I want to thank Brother Stanley for all these Muslims on the line. But, Brother, you're crossing the scriptures of the Bible, Brother. They can't say the Muslims don't love Jesus. No way they can do that.
That's
so
right.
I thought about it as they were talking. I thought about intimate, the word intimate, and how, you know, when you're married, that is a personal, intimate relationship. There's no greater friend than you would have than your spouse. Brother talked about your frat brother or your best friend from back in the day or your girlfriend. There's no greater friend than your spouse. And when you start to talk outside the marriage, now you're sleeping with the enemy, because the person that you're supposed to be intimate with has become an enemy to you.
Because
they're not
Kadeem.
Seeking counsel, really and truth, with the righteous individuals and the right individual. And Brother Stanley, you will be familiar with this. When we were in the ministry under Brother Rasul, he would always tell us as students in the ministry that if you needed counsel, you don't counsel down. You would counsel across or you counsel up. So he would say, you counsel with another minister or you would call him directly, who was our regional minister over us. But as that relates to marriage, I most certainly, as Sister Ruth said, you don't counsel down by counseling with somebody that it's like courting. You know, in the courtship process, you don't go out with somebody single. You go out with another married couple. So certainly you'll want to counsel across with another married couple that you know is a good, striving married couple, or you go to your married minister and counsel with him and his staff, or if not him and his wife. But another question, Brother Stanley, you know, we are FOI, and we have a mission that we're bound by. And a lot of times you find believers, brothers in particular, that will find the struggle for balance. Therefore, you may have a complaining wife that says, well, he's never home. He's always out pushing the program. You know, we push the program, and we had FOI class on Monday. You're in study group on Wednesday. You got study group on Friday. You're pushing on Saturday. And it's just not enough time. How do you deal with the struggle for balance when we have a mission and we have a responsibility to our nation and a responsibility in our house? How do you suggest that couples handle that?
Okay, that's a great question, Brother Kadeem. I heard the minister say to us in a student laborers meeting that the only one who is to sacrifice his family for the mission is the messenger of God. Mm-hmm. He said, the rest of you, it's in this chronological order.
Go ahead.
Is God, family, then nation.
Go ahead.
I was a student minister in Florida, as you know, Brother Kadeem, and I had a mother-in-law who was a Christian, and her daughter and her son-in-law were both under my spiritual guidance. And he would go to the mosque, and his wife would be at home complaining because he would leave to go to the mosque, but there's no food in the refrigerator.
Go ahead.
So thus gives birth to Surah 58, the pleading woman, Al-Mujadila.
Go ahead.
She has a right to complain about that because the brother is not putting his priorities in place. He's making the nation's job hard because he's making the wife bitter.
That's right.
He's not putting the priorities in proper perspective. See, the book of Timothy said, a man who cannot manage his home, he cannot manage the house of God.
That's right. That's right.
So managing your home is a prerequisite to actually manage the house of God.
Mm.
Strong families make a strong nation.
That's right.
So the minister said to us, Brother Kadeem, work hard 4 days out of a week for your nation. Then the balance is spend time with your wife, one day for you and your wife. Then one day for your family, your whole family. Go to the park, roll in the grass with your son and your daughters, throw the football all day. Don't answer the phone.
That's right.
Then you got to have me time. One day is just for you. At the church say amen, at the mom say Allah white, well, we got to have some me time, right?
Allah white, my brother.
I guess somebody has it.
Yeah, I wish I knew what that was, but yes, sir.
Well, that's what the minister said. We got to strive for it.
Yes.
This,
yes.
This is what you call the balance here, the mazan that the Holy Quran said, the balance. You got to have that. And then the man has to know how to satisfy his wife. And the way you satisfy your wife, that we talked about last week, is you have to reflect the characteristics of God.
That's right. That's right.
She can't resist a man that reflecting the characteristics of God. Most times, Brother Kadeem, a woman is not happy with a man because a man is doing something that does not reflect God. Her nature. Her nature is to console God.
Right.
Her nature is to equal herself up to God. You ain't got to tell a woman what to do. If you sit, stop praying, she going to stop praying. When my wife and I, we first came to Islam, I never told my wife, you need to come to the mosque or I'm leaving you. She wasn't a part of the nation at first.
Mm-hmm.
But she saw my example. She saw me loving her. Open a door for her, taking her on night walks, bringing her roses, huh? Bringing her gifts, treating her like a queen.
That's right.
You see? And then when she was asked by the sisters to come to the mosque, she was happy to come.
Yeah.
Because the best way we can teach our wives is by example.
That's right.
Not by what we say, but by what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So if see, charity starts at home, then it spreads abroad, Brother Kadeem.
That's right.
You shouldn't be at the mosque and then your house is going to hell.
Mm-mm.
No, brother, I can't make it today. I can't make it to church today. I got to make sure that me and my family and me and my wife settle this difference we have.
That's right.
You don't leave your house with a difference in the argument and you let it linger. You sleep on the couch. She sleep in the bed and you don't communicate in the house for 2-3 days, the more you allow that to linger, the more your wife is in suspense about you, you in suspense about her, and then, hell, some man might see her in the grocery store and talk sweet to her, and you just cuss her out. You making her mind a firm resting place for Satan.
Mm.
So the most honorable Elijah Muhammad said, we don't leave our homes when we have a difference. We sell our difference, and then we leave our home while we're in agreement.
That's right.
That's how we're answering, Brother Kadeem.
Brother, that was
a deep,
you know, there's one thing about these teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We can take that short talk that you just shared with us and can teach on it for hours because there was just so much in that, Brother Stanley, and these types of talk. Sister Queen, on this day, marriage and family, male-female relationships must be discussed if we are to be a nation because, as Brother Stanley said, without marriage, happy, successful marriage is rooted in God, there is no nation. You know? But I definitely want to get Sister Ruth's take, you know, because there has to be balance on both sides. You know, we get our training, Brother Stanley, but
right.
How do the sisters find balance? Because the sisters, too, are tied to this mission. Sister
That's
Ruth?
Right.
Yes, sir. And, you know, being tied to the mission does not mean, you know, ignoring your family or putting them second. You know, I was taught when I came into the nation that my home is my base. Mm-hmm. My husband, my children is my first place, you know. So when you are a woman that has been taught that, and like the minister said, it's God, family, then nation, you know, then you practice that, you know, and you strive to live, you know, by those principles. So I tell you, brother, if, you know, if they ask me to do something that's going to conflict with my family life, I have to say I can't do it. You know, humbly say, you know, I can't do it. And they respect that. You know, so it has to be, someone has to stand up and do the right thing. You know, the mission starts at home and then spreads abroad.
Right.
It's not being seen of men that gives you the reward.
Right,
it's
right.
Living the life that we are taught.
That's right.
That gives us the reward. You know, and I can bear witness, my husband, if we have a disagreement, guess what? He's not going to leave the house. I don't care if he got a meeting, if he got to go to work. He's going to be at work late. He practices that. You know, I'm the one that might want a little time to myself, but if we're not in agreement, he ain't going nowhere until we become one. You know, and I love that about him, you know, is that he practices what he, you know, preaches. You know, because I do know relationships where they won't talk for that whole day. They'll sleep in, you know, in separate rooms. But it just, that doesn't happen at my home. You know, so it's we just have to know, you know, sisters have to know their place. Brothers have to know their place, you know, and men, like the scripture says, God is the head of Christ, Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of woman. So that means that when that man has Christ in his head, that man is going to lead his family to right. And that man has to lead by example. You know, you don't be at no FOI class at no 1 o'clock in the morning. You know, and even the minister, I heard him say that, you know, after 10, he wants the believers in their homes.
So he said.
Unless they have to work. You know, so, I mean, we're taught things because we abuse one another. You know, and I remember when my husband first, you know, we first came into the nation, I wasn't used to him going to no class at Monday night. You know, and back in them days, they did have class till midnight. See, the minister had to put a stop to all that. They would have class till, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning. I mean, late hours.
Right.
And I always, you know, I never felt my husband was cheating on me, none of that. But one thing I know that I felt was lonely. You know, and I did feel like, you know, that's more important to him than me. You know, because by nature, you know what, Allah made us to depend on one another. He made us that way. He made us to depend on him. You know, and when you have a man that reflects him, you depend on that man. You know, so you want that console, you know, you want the consolation. You want, you know, him to, you know, to touch you. See, we are by nature, we have to feel. We have to touch. You know, Allah put all that in our nature. So we do need it as humans. We need to be hugged. We need to be, you know, shown that we are important to that person. You know, so when that is not there, then you feel like, you know, something else is taking the place. And I'm telling you that it was a point where I was saddened, and it was a little depression there because I was not used to that. But you know what? Allah, I mean, he answered the prayers of the pleading woman, because the minister, next thing you know, he came out with a lecture. And he told them brothers, no FOI class after 10 o'clock.
Praise be to Allah.
And then he said, brothers, you don't neglect your families. You know, he said, you don't put your nation before your family. That's when he came out with, you know, God, family, then nation. Because he knew that a lot of brothers were using, you know, the nation, you know, to stay away. Some for good reasons, some for not good reasons, you know. So he stopped it, and by Allah's grace, he saved a lot of marriages. Because I was one of them.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So I think that when you have and that's what striving is about, brother. It's not that we're perfect today, but it's that we're striving to hear and obey. We're striving to make Allah's word bond.
Right.
So when the minister gives instructions, a believing man will hear and obey. A believing woman will hear and obey.
That's right.
You know, but then a disbeliever, a hypocrite, they will debate. They will make excuses why they can't follow those instructions. You know, so that's how you know what that person, you know, was really in that person's heart. Are they trying to use the mosque as an excuse to say, you know, I got to be at the mosque, but they're really somewhere else?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how you know, you start seeing disease in the heart. You know, so I was blessed. You know, I've been blessed to have a husband that loves Allah and is striving. So he shows me, you know, Allah's works, you know. So that's what I would say.
And I want to just say something real quick about the theme on that.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
People will make slaves out of you through religion.
Yeah.
If
that's
you're
right.
ignorant. And that's why the master, Farad Muhammad, to whom praise are due forever, asked the question to his servant, the most honored Elijah Muhammad, why does the devil keep our people illiterate?
Mm.
That's right.
So we can use them for a tool and also a slave.
That's right.
He keeps them blind to themselves so he can master them.
That's right.
And in Surah 58, verse 19, it says, the devil have gained mastery over you because he calls you to forget the remembrance of God.
Mm.
See, I was ignorant during that time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. I thought I was just being a good soldier when I obeyed my captain.
That's right.
But I didn't
know
my wife was hurting at home, Sister Queen.
Right.
I thought I was being a good Muslim.
Yes, sir.
See? But I was ignorant, and I was being manipulated by those who were looking out for their own inordinate self-interest.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
See?
Oh.
But they didn't care about my family suffering.
That's right.
They cared about themselves. They didn't say, brothers, y'all go home to your wives. Go home to your children. The nighttime is the devil's time. They didn't say that.
That's right.
And if I would have knew what Timothy said, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, Sister Queen, guess what it says? If anyone provides not for his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel.
Think about that. Mm.
If anyone who does not take care of his family, he has denied the faith, and he is worse than a disbeliever or infidel.
That's right.
Come on now.
I'm just saying, though. You can't be walking around the outside talking about you a soldier, and then you are not taking care of your own family. Your wife is miserable. The children are actually a wreck. There's no food in the house. You got disconnect notice. You're past due on your rent, and you don't give a damn. You shop. You got gators. You got a nice suit, and you walk around pretty in the mosque.
Mm.
That's right.
A house out of order. Come on, brother.
You better teach.
They make you, they want to make you a lieutenant because you're always there.
Right, right.
And they're
examining
that. Saying, look at that soldier. The brother's saying, oh, that's a soldier. You're getting all kind of certificates in the mosque, but you got a divorce certificate at home.
Come on.
Go ahead, brother.
Come
I mean,
on.
Come on, which is more important, a certificate in the mosque or the divorce certificate at home?
Yes, I love
and Allah said he hates divorce.
That's right.
That's right.
Let me tell you another thing that's important. And I want to share that. I'm going to close on this for real, for real. But look, Sister Queen, this is a, this is a,
yes,
this is a big one here, a trial of marriage
come
here.
On.
This is a big one.
Go ahead, baby.
She, you know what, trial three. Mm-hmm. And the three people in trial, it, guess who it is? It's God, Satan, and yourself.
Think about that. That's right.
Those are
that's
three
right.
chief people that's in your trial. And look at what Allah,
yes,
what Allah says in Surah 4. And if you wish to have one wife in the place of another, and you have given one of them a heap of gold, take nothing from it. Would you take it by slandering her and doing her manifest wrong? And how can you take it when one of you have already gone into the other, and they have taken from you a strong covenant?
Mm.
See?
Come on.
Hey, man, you with your wife, and then you see another woman because your wife is complaining about you not doing your duty.
Mm.
Or you with your husband, and you see another man that you might look more pleasing to you. So then you're not going to just leave him. You want to slander him first, slander her first. But Allah says, will you now leave that one after you took a strong covenant called marriage, a strong agreement, and you want to slander because you desire somebody else?
Come on. Teach on that. You better teach on that because it's happening
you
every
see?
Day.
You think it's greener on the other goddamn side. You know what I'm saying? You ain't living with that man.
Right.
But that's lust in most cases. It ain't love, it's lust. You see a man that look good to you. You see a man that you think got the attributes of God, but you don't know that man behind closed doors.
That's right.
And he slandered his wife, and you slandered your husband, and now y'all find agreement in whoredom.
Mm.
Come on, man.
What I said.
I'm
saying it. You see?
Yes, sir.
And that's the hypocrisy that goes on in marriage, that you don't want to struggle anymore.
Come on.
When you give up on struggle, now it's easy for you to see a loose woman that might look at you with a pleasing eye.
Mm.
And then you make a move when no one's looking, but you know God is looking because he's always the all I see.
That's right.
That's
and
right.
you will pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Because you're not breaking up a marriage and a family, but you're destroying a whole nation.
That's right.
That's
and that's
right.
why the greatest punishment in Islam is against that which destroys family and marriages.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Come on, brother. Come on.
Why would you do that? You want to take another man, another woman in the place of your present spouse? You don't want to work it out because you're a punk, because you're not strong enough to actually gird up your loins and say, Allah, you are God. You destroy the impossibility. This mountain of difficulty is not too big for you. I believe in you, and I trust in you for all that I need. Baby, we're going to make it. Baby, we're going to do it. Hold my hand. We're going to fight Satan together. God damn it. Farrakhan can do it. Khadijah can do it. I can do it.
That's right. Go ahead. Come
That's
on.
That's right,
man.
Brother. That's
Woo!
Right.
Thanks, Brother Stanley.
My God.
You're a man Woo! Just like me.
That's right.
Don't think Farrakhan is some kind of spooky man. He's a man just like me.
Right.
That's right.
And he showed up that I struggle just like you. Me and Khadijah have differences, but I work it out.
That's right.
Right. I hit her and she punched the hell out of me, and that was the end of that domestic violence.
That's what it was.
That's right.
That's what he said.
A short punch, he said.
She hit him with a strong right. He said, damn, she get hit. She hit like Holyfield. Damn. No, that was God that punched him. Through Khadija. That's why he didn't hit it no more.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's
next
right.
He hit like God.
Mm-hmm.
It was God.
That's
and
right.
When you're wrong, God's going to hit you with depression. You might think you're getting away, but God's going to hit you where it really counts. He's going to take your peace from you.
Right.
But don't blame your spouse for your unhappiness, though.
Right.
That's not just lay your dirt at his doorstep or her doorstep. That's not just, and that's the games we play.
Yes, sir.
We slander our spouse. When we doing wrong, you want to actually act like you ain't doing wrong. Let me show you this real quick, though. Just real quick. Look at this. This is a good one, Sister Queen, that just kisses what
okay.
I just said in the Bible. Oh, yeah, I know. We got someone on the line.
Yeah, but the chat room is the one that's really waiting because they wanted to be anonymous tonight. So, but go ahead.
Go ahead,
Brother Stanley.
Go ahead. All right. Let me just say this.
Yeah, We got time and
okay.
overtime. Come on, brother.
It says in the Proverbs chapter 6, it says, to keep from thee the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. You know, the sister wearing these long eyelids. You know why they do that, Sister Queen? Because they want to bring attention to their eyes. They want to lure you to their eyes. When God says, lower your gaze, Satan says, well, let me find a way that the man can focus on her gaze.
Come on.
Let me
get
her eyelids like a camel.
That's right. That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
I bear witness. Minister said
they
look like camels.
Like a camel. And for by means of a horse, woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread.
Mm. Oh.
Man. You reduced down, you was a big man, but she made you down to a piece of bread by means of a horse, woman.
Think about that.
Ooh. And then this what she says. Look at what she does here. Okay. Now, I'm going to stop right here because I don't want to go to people in the chat room that want to chat about this.
Go ahead, brother.
Yes,
you know, tonight.
I'm going to tell you. What did you say?
Tonight, you're Pastor Stanley. And I don't mean that in any joking way, but Brother Stanley knows the pastoral side of the ministry. It's just as important as the ministry side. Because the pastoral side, this is the care for the believers. And this, what we're talking about tonight, this is the love. This is the care. This is the growth. This is development. This is the grooming of a family. And these are the words of Allah coming through our brother. And he's doing an excellent job in delivering a word of pastoral care tonight. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. Now here, look at here. It says in the same book, Proverbs chapter 7, the ways of the harlot. It says that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. See, they're always going to take good words to you.
Mm-hmm.
See, the woman in the harlot in the street, the stripper in the club, the woman who just want to be a temptress in the street, she going to say what you want to hear.
That's right.
But your wife going to tell you what you ain't doing in terms of your duty.
Mm-hmm.
One sounds sour, another one sounds sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And see, we always running from that which gives us pain to that which gives us pleasure. The woman, the harlot sound more pleasurable to you.
For a minute.
See? But then here it says, for at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, talking about the man who was simple, I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her in the twilight, in the evening, in the black, in the dark night. See, the nighttime is the devil's time. And my wife said that black night means his ignorance. And behold, there met him a woman with an attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. When she look in a tie of a harlot, a lot of these sisters, they dressing just like prostitutes. You can't tell the difference.
That's right. You're right.
You don't know if she's selling or she's just trying to, you know, keep up with the style.
That's true.
And then it says here, and that she have a subtle heart. I mean, she always says words of suggestion.
Yeah.
See?
Uh-huh.
He might, Sister Queen, be light-skinned with black wavy hair. And she might say, ooh, a lot of women like black, light-skinned men with black wavy hair. Well, what you saying? That's the soldier that you say. I like you. And some of them bold enough to say it in front of the wife.
Oh.
If that is, or what is one?
Come on now.
What is one? So you want to make subtle suggestions and cast it in firm resolutions in front of the man's wife. You want to make a statement, a compliment, but you want to be subtle with it. You don't want to be direct, but you want him to catch it so then he can make a move to you.
Mm-hmm.
See, whores and harlots, they're very crafty, Sister Queen.
Yes, sir.
And if a woman, sisters, if you ain't watching, she can take your man right in front of you and you know she's taking him.
Mm-hmm.
She is loud and stubborn. Her feet don't abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lie in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an imprudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me this day, and I paid my vows. Therefore come I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. And I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and carved works with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our feel of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the good man is not at home. Oh, my God. For the good man is not at home. So when he leaves, she texting him. When he leaves, she Facebooking him. I can't wait till that good man leaves so I can talk to the no good man. Because I'm a no good woman, but when he's around, I act like I'm a good woman. And he is gone for a long journey. He have taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she calls him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox go to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. So here, Sister Queen, I can read this, and the rest of the audience can read more.
Mm-hmm.
But another scripture says, the way of adulterous woman, she wipes her lips like she done nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
See? The way of adulterous man, he wipes his lips like he done nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing that in your marriage. You acting as though you're innocent, but you're slandering your spouse so you can actually ease your guilt.
Yeah, that's true.
Stop doing that.
Uh-huh.
Go self-examination, self-analysis, self-correction. Go to God and say, God, I'm wrong. And go to your wife and tell your wife. You don't have to tell her what you've done. Tell her that you are sorry for not being the husband that you pledged to be. But from this day forward, I will be a better man. Because, Sister Queen, we say our transgression to no one but God. That's
yes,
the messenger's
sir.
Teachings. Don't go and tell your wife, you know, I've been at the booty club, pardon my expression. I confess.
I'm going to find out.
You see? Then she said, oh, I've been at the club, the strip man's, the muscle man club. I confess. You don't have to do that.
Take it to God.
You confess to God. And I'm telling you how to do it. You confess to God, and God, his ears are sufficient. And when God forgives, you are forgiven indeed. Your wife don't do the forgiving. Your husband don't do the forgiving. It's God that does the ultimate forgiving, because your wife can forgive you. Your husband can forgive you. But if God don't forgive you, you're not forgiven.
I want to make sure we get this answer to this sister, because she has to go. And she wants to know, how can you get past physical abuse? She says, it has been a while, but the fear and some resentment is still there. My husband has since joined church and has apologized sincerely. I believe him, but I don't love him the same.
My God.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, Sister Queen, to be real brief, is that can change.
That's right.
But if he change indeed, you will see a change in his behavior towards you. See, the language, the attitude, the interaction with you would be gentle.
That's
right. See, God is seen in a man when that man is gentle towards a woman.
Okay.
See, God is not in you if you're rough to a woman. You have to be gentle to her for God to be in you. But does not mean that he is a bad man because he had an abusive streak about him. Maybe that's a learned behavior.
That's right.
And that he probably saw his mother as being abused by his father as a little child, and he developed and inherited that kind of mindset.
That's right.
And it took him to join the church to break that cycle. But what he done in that abuse, he strangled the spirit of love in you. So it's like that plant that is brown and yellow that needs water. It's been starved. Needs sunlight. It's been starved. So what he has to do, he has to rekindle the love, and the nurturing ingredient of love is duty. He has to come back to his duty to you. And you have to forgive. If he has shown that he's a good man now and he changed, as God gave you a second chance, my sister, or a third or fourth or fifth, he gives us so many chances we can't even number. And he forgives us that we can turn around and forgive others. And if you forgive him and he have proven he's a changed man, and he said, I'm sorry, not just with his words, but his actions. If his word and action equal up, that means he's sincere. And that's how I would answer that. And sister, put your faith and trust in God. And a lot of times, you know, there's another side to that. Sometimes women provoke men to be abusive. I'm not saying all the time. I'm not saying this about you, sister,
who asked the question. But women have to learn how to be tactful with that. God has given the man the natural authority. As the Bible says, God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. Man is the head of woman. So if man's a natural authority, when you challenge him with your mouth when he's angry, that's like challenging a police officer when he's angry. What is he going to do? He's going to use his authority. And the more you challenge him, the more aggressive he becomes because he's trying to protect his authority. So women have to learn the art of avoiding conflict with their husband. When he's angry, let him go solo. Take the fight out of him. Say, yes, sir, no problem. I understand. And when he's calm and when he's sober-minded, then you approach him with wisdom. And go read the book of James chapter 1, verse 19. It tells you the way to communicate with your husband and with your spouse.
Right.
So that's how I would answer that, Sister Queen.
Okay. And I'm trying to move quickly. We're going to take a call from Chicago. Area
yes.
code 773. Your mic
yes.
is live.
Yes. Can you hear me, sister?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Come back and hear me. I have a
I'm
question.
Sorry?
Can you hear me?
Okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir. We can hear you.
As-salamu alaykum, family.
Wa-alaykum
I have a
salam.
Question.
Wa-alaykum salam.
I have a question that I struggled with, and I trust that hearing the mighty words from the FOIMGT that you all can give me an answer. I'm going to be real brief because I want to get to the answer. I have struggled with this one thing. I've waited until I was mature enough I thought I was mature enough to get married. Since I've been married, I've been divorced, remarried, and divorced the same person. The problem that I had, even though I sought counsel, and my counsel gave me advice that it was all right to divorce, I was conditioned, and this is why it took me so long to get married, I was conditioned to never divorce. And even though I have moved forward, I still struggle with the divorce part because it had become a part of my belief system. So what scripture would you advise me or what counsel can you give me to say, you know what, brother, it's all right. You know, to just give you a brief snippet, there was conversation by way of mouth that we both want to work on it. But you all know that the minister has introduced us to Dianetics. He has made his ministers available for us to counsel. But when one party said that we want to get better and all these tools are available but not utilized, how can you get better? And then when it's ordained for you to get divorced, how do you come to grips in your mind and your heart that it's all right?
Okay, so what you're saying, brother, is that you got married at a young age.
Older age, brother.
Older age.
Late 30.
Yeah, I apologize. But at a young age, you was conditioned not to divorce.
Correct. Either by way of self, by going through it and watching it, the destruction of it, and just by family members believing that we don't divorce.
Oh, I see. And then you divorced your wife.
Correct.
And
remarried her.
Forgot about it. Remarried her.
And divorced her again.
And you feel bad about it.
Coming to with the grips of the term of divorce, I'm a person who don't believe in quitting and standing firm and fighting for a thing.
My wife's going to say something to you.
As-salamu alaykum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam.
Did she initiate the divorce or did you initiate the divorce?
I initiated the divorce, sister, on both accounts.
Okay. Yes, sir. Okay, well, because, I know that, you know, when we read Allah's word, you know, and we study his word and we apply the word, then, you know, everything can, you know, everything is workable. The thing is that, you know, I don't know the relationship. I don't know, you know, what the life was in the home, you know. But Allah, he permits us to divorce for a reason, you know, because Allah knows that if he does not permit divorce, then, you know, other things will come out of it that's not good for us. You know, so like the minister said, divorce is less of the evil, you know. And so he does permit divorce because he wants to help us in our growth and development. So I would say, brother, that, you know, you have to, and for a reason, you know, and then you have to find out what is the reason that I had to go through this. What is it that Allah wanted me to learn from this, you know, circumstance, you know? And I think that that's what you have to do, is you have to look within yourself and study, you know, and analyze everything that you went through and how everything came out. And then it's something that Allah wants to teach you, you know, it's a lesson for you, you know, and the ultimate lesson is for you to teach others, you know, because anything can be overcame. But what? Why did Allah permit that to happen and come into your life, especially the way you was brought up, where divorce was a no-no? Why did Allah permit that to come into your life when you, your family, you know, and people around you talk so much against it? You know, so what I would say is that, you know, what is it that Allah, are you trying to tell me? You know, you have to ask Allah and seek his understanding so that you can be made whole, you know. And, I mean, we all go through something, brother, to help, you know. Like the minister said, everything that we see as bad works for good for those who love the Lord. So if you love Allah, know that what you went through was for your own growth and development. It's good for you, even though you see it as not good, you know? So then that's when we start, you know, seeing things from our lives, you know, point of view. Because, you know, we don't believe in coincidence. There's no such thing, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, you know, of coincidence. Everything happened for a reason, you know, and that's for you to find out what was the reason, what is the purpose, you know. Now you've been given a word, you've been given the knowledge, you know, like you said, Dianetics, all, everything that the minister has given us, you know, we can find our answer, but we have to seek the knowledge. We have to look for it. We got to work for it. We can't just sit and expect it to come from the sky, you know. So I believe, brother, that, you know, what you had to go through, it was a reason, and it's for your own good, you know. And Allah will always show you at the end, you know, that everything you went through was for good because you loved him. And that's what I would like to share with you.
Brother, what is your name?
Brother Michael.
Oh, wait. Brother Michael, okay, Brother Michael, let me give you these scriptures, okay, that you
yes,
asked for. I don't have time to read them and to elaborate on them. The Bible first, the book of Matthews, chapter 5, 31, starting with the 31st verse. It's a section called Teachings on Divorce, what Jesus taught about, you know, basically Moses permitted it because of the hardness of our heart. Mm-hmm. And there, and a lot of times we don't have the right heart for marriage. And there is something in our life that we have a hard heart towards that prohibits the union between husband and wife, that prevents the oneness, that you have to remove, she has to remove. And then the Holy Quran, Surah 2, Baqarah, the cow, there is a section called divorce, section 28 and 29. But what's applicable to you is all of it. But, you know, you sound like you're contemplating a third time, but I'll tell you what Allah says. So if
no,
he divorces her, I'm sorry, Brother Michael, what'd you say?
No, sir, no contemplation of a third time. We are good friends. My ex-wife bear witness that I was a good husband. But I am content with the friendship, and I don't want to go back into the relationship portion of the in our dealings.
But you're wrestling with the guiltiness of you divorcing.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I see. Well, I mean, brother, even this is applicable since you're not contemplating the third time. But if, you know, Allah, the best knower, say something happens in this third time, you know, that's the last time, if that happens. But still, if you divorce, Allah tells you in this ayah, 230 and 231, how you should relate to her. And if you relate to her the way Allah says relate to her with kindness, then that produces the healing.
That's right.
In itself, it produces the healing. And the guiltiness will dissipate the more you trust in God's word.
That's right.
Long as you know that you have been living according to God's word, you have to grow yourself into the mind of God through prayer, through fasting, through all that what he prescribes us to do in terms of our duty to him. And the more you grow into the mind of God through duty, the more you would actually know that the kindness and the way you the divorce was, he would bring about a healing. And if you did something wrong in the marriage that produced a unjust divorce, then we have atonement. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all, you know, make mistakes. We all error. But Allah permitted it for his purpose.
That's right.
So you have to know he permits things for a reason and a season, Brother Michael.
Yes.
You know, and your name means who is God or who is like God. Mm. And you have a name because you are like God, because there's no way you can be not like God to have, because you have that guilty conscience. You want to be right. That's the reason why you're asking the question, because you want to be right. And you're already on a right course from your Lord, brother. May God bless you. May he strengthen you. And you keep yourself around the mosque, around positive believers, around good people. And you keep doing good, and Allah will heal you from your broken heart. And that's what, in terms of this aspect of your life, about the divorce aspect. And Allah says in the Bible, in Psalms 147, verse 3, Allah says, I heal the brokenhearted,
mm-hmm.
and I bind up their wounds.
Right.
Only Allah can heal you, brother,
that's
from that.
It.
And so you seek assistance in Allah through patience and prayer, and he will bring about a healing in your life. Thank you, my brother.
Praise be to Allah.
Allah bless
you. All praise be to Allah. Yes.
And this is in general, not specific to our dear brother Michael, but I often share with people that come and ask me about relationship issues, and it's the truth
mm-hmm.
of the matter is, if every brother and every sister, I think that if we spent more time on personal self-development, not looking for that man, not looking for that woman, and
mm-hmm.
work on our interpersonal relationships with God, sincerely, not talking God and not walking it, but talking and walking the walk, the person that's right for you or fall in your lap, and you will know it when you meet it. But we got to stop looking, because we're looking with the wrong eyes, and we end up in bad situations that only lead to divorce. Work on yourself,
because
you can lie to me, but you cannot lie to yourself. You know what you see. We know what we see when we look in the mirror.
Yes, sir. Well, listen, we are over time, but Brother Stanley, Sister Ruth, I promised these last two people that I would ask their questions. Do you mind right quick?
No, ma'am.
No, ma'am, we don't mind.
Okay. Lisa, and I really want you all to, if you would, expound on the value as well as the importance of marriage, because Lisa says that she's going to be honest. Why get married when my man does all I need him to do? I think marriage is more cultural for Muslims and Christians. I have a man who treats me with the utmost respect. Now,
I won't,
Brother Stanley. No, not Brother Stanley. No. Sister Ruth.
I was about to tell her I was going to forfeit and go to Sister Ruth.
Sister Ruth, please advise our sister like only you can.
It sounds to me like, you know, she's not religious, or she don't, you know, see it in the way of religion, as we call it, you know. And so what I would say to her is that, you know, she has to, why not get married? You know what I'm saying? It's not even based upon religion. Society, America, it's not about religion. They want, you know, they have a standard that when, you know, you trying to get with a person, you go get licensed to the judge, and then, you know, he marries you. He ain't in no church. It has to do nothing with religion. That judge can be, you know, he can be Jew. He can be atheist. He's just doing his job, marrying whoever wants to get married. So it's not about religion. It's about the right thing. It's about a commitment. And if you say that he does all these things for you, why not get married? You know, what's the problem with him marrying you? Why you see it as a problem of him marrying you? You know, why not do it the way that everyone else does it? You know, so that's what I would say to her, is that if she sees that, you know, it's a religious thing, but it's not, because even people that, you know, have no religion, they get married. They go to a judge and allow the judge to marry them. And all that is for commitment. You know what I'm saying? It's all they're saying, that I commit to you and only you. And that, you know, so that's a, they're exchanging, you know, vows of my commitment, my feelings towards you. And they're putting it on a, you know, on a certificate, a paper, whatever. You know, so it's nothing wrong with doing that. But if she's saying that, why do that, why not do it? You know, why would he not do it? He don't want to go through that extra step? Did he want to keep, you know, making her think that he's only for her and she's only for him? And my husband, he wants to say something.
Sister Queen, I want to say, just say this. I think that we miss the point about marriage. We focus on the man, and the man focuses on the woman. That's not what marriage is about. And I think that's what she's focusing on, that man. And she's focusing on how that man makes her feel. But if she looks at it and say, wait a minute, who made the sperm and the ovum that made that man who he is? Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
This man belongs to God. And when you take this man into your life without asking the owner for permission, you become a thief and a robber. You can't go into the store and take from the grocery store the product that belongs to that grocery store without homage to that owner and paying a price for it. So did you, wait a minute, you didn't make that man, so who made him? Who created him? It is God. And God said, in order for you to have my man, I'm going to give you a contract that you got to sign with not him, but with me. In order for you to have that woman that is not your woman, but my woman, I made her, I created her. Here's some papers. You got to sign the contract with me. Hell, you can't go to that car that you, I mean, you, that car you're driving. You can't just go in the car lot and take it. No, you got to sign some papers. You got to make a commitment to the owner of that car.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't got a problem with that when it comes to man's law. But what about someone who's bigger than God's man's law? Who is God? So when you make your wedding vows, your vows are not to each other first. It is to God, paying homage and thanking him for the man, the goodness that you see in that man that you shared with us. Thank you, God. And I'm willing to pay a price that you bestow on me. Thank you, God, for this woman. I'm willing to pay a price. That's what marriage is about. But we want to take God out of the equation, knowing that no one in this world made the sperm or the ovum to make the man or woman. You have to pay homage to God. And when you take him without obeying the owner, you become a thief and a robber. And that's why the book of Malachi said, would a man or woman rob God? Yeah, he carjacked God. God was driving down the street. Y'all carjacked God. You know, if you could. So that's how I would answer that to my sister.
And you know, I just want to speak to her as a woman. You know, I get so profoundly frustrated with our sisters who allow brothers to go shopping with them. Because it's almost like when you go on the mall, you know, you have a right to go in and come out. No matter how long you stay in there, you know, you can buy something or not. And, you know, it leads to so many other social dysfunctions. You know, that's why we have 70% of black women who are single. 70% of black women between the ages of 25 and 65 are single.
Yeah.
75% of the homes in black America are led by single mothers. This is why. And that creates an imbalance in the entire world. So there is a lot of nature, that if you are a man and a woman made from a man and a woman, then that balance is required. And this is part of the disobedience that we participate in that has our nation, our world, in the state that it is in today. You don't get away with breaking the law of God. Whether you believe in God or not, I'm telling you, you don't get away with it, because if you don't pay for it directly, your children will pay for it, and you will pay for it in the suffering of seeing your children dysfunction, seeing your children die, seeing your children get beat, seeing your children go to jail. You will pay for it. And you have to think more of yourself, that you would not let a man come and lay up with you, excuse me, and have his way with you for as long as he desires, and then he has the option to just walk away. And he's made no obligation. He's made no commitment to you, and he has the option to just walk away. And if you wanted to fight, what you going to do? You can't say, well, here's my marriage license. He committed to me. He vowed to me. He didn't promise you anything.
That's right. That
word. Excuse me. So this is why we're in the condition that we are in today. I don't, you know, I really can't cater to people who don't believe in God. I don't know what that kind of life is like, and I cannot be partial to that or try to understand that. But I can tell you this, that obedience to God is far more beneficial than disobedience, even to the law of nature, because the law of nature is from God. So,
that's
sister,
right.
My suggestion to you is that if he's doing all that he, all that you require him to do, then raise your standards and see if he'll stay.
Yes. Yes. Come on.
And that's all I'm going to say on that. Okay.
I have one more question. Oh.
Yes, go ahead. We got one more question after that. Go ahead, Brother Kadeem.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Well, the sister said, she said marriage sounds like a Muslim or a Christian thing. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, she said cultural Muslim or Christian thing.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It sounds like this sister, dear sister, if you're still listening, you are a victim. You are a victim of the mind of Satan. Because it is only Satan, opposite God and desirous of the breakup of the family structure. We talked all night about without family, there is no nation. And sister, you said it perfectly, because I was going to say that the sins of the parents, because you don't believe you're sinning. So you said it's cultural, Christian, Muslim. You don't believe you're sinning. So whatever you are doing today will undoubtedly be visited upon your children. They will suffer. If you have children with a man like this, you're going to have daughters who are going to grow up and say, well, my mama did this. And believe me, no man wants to envision anything brutally happening to his female child. But it will come back on them like that. And no man is obligated to you. I don't give a damn how much he's taking care of it. He's a good man. He's a good. I don't give a damn about that. Because it sounds like he has convinced you to say, girl, that ain't nothing but a piece of paper. I hear people say that every week. That ain't nothing but a piece of paper. Because the mind of a Negro will say that, because he know, I ain't married to you. I ain't obligated to you. I don't care how many children I pump in you and you push out. I don't owe you nothing. But even in the scriptures of the Bible, God said it is not good that man should be alone. And he's putting himself in a bad position. That's just not good. I mean, I can't. I'm like Sister Queen. It's okay if you don't believe in God. That's your choice. Because the only creation of God that has the free will to choose to do or obey, disobey God, is the human being. So that's your right. But there are the consequences for every single thing that we choose. You can, I'm not going to join you in that. I'm not trying to pussyfoot around this subject matter with you on that. You know, that's just not the thinking of God. I don't care if you don't say I'm not a Muslim, I'm not a Christian, I'm not this. There is a God. And I'm fed up with the religious argument, so it's just God. That's okay. But his way is marriage. It's family. It's promoted in the Bible. It's promoted in the Quran. It's promoted in the Word. I heard the minister say, I heard the minister say that there is no scripture in Bible or Quran of any prophets being sent to the Asian part of the world, China, Japan, and like that. And he said there's a possibility that those people were not in need of a prophet, but those people still believe in God. You have to have some sense about God. Had it not been for God, there would be no you. Nothing happens without God. It's a this deep, because it's a deep, deep, deep science, and to just the sperm and the egg itself, where you created a man in your image and after your likeness. You have the ability to do, you and this man, what God did. God did that. He set up a system. He set up a way that we be happy together. Man, bite that apple. That's your choice. But I would not. I cannot condone that and just say that's just the right way. But without trying to beat my sister up, because we don't want to beat you up. You know, you get that tough love. We beat you because we love you. This is that tough love telling you at the end of the day, this is not beneficial to you as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because as Sister Queen said, that brother could walk away. And all that he did was good would be gone. And what court, even in the white man's world, what court can side with you? A judge can look at you and say, well, God, you were foolish. You were foolish. So we have to be careful of the decisions we make. And that really is the mind of, see, that's what's promoted on TV today. I grew up in the era of don't shack up. Now the world says shack up. See if you like the cookie. You don't know. What if she don't? I mean, I heard somebody literally say this. Oh, she don't have the kind of sex I like. Really? That's what it really is about? So I want to shack up first. See, you know, let me tell you, I've been married. You would never stop learning your spouse. Brother Stanley, how long have you and Sister Ruth been married?
24 years, 20. Sir.
Are you still learning her?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
We learn each other.
That's right.
Brother, I would say that when you're dead, then you were dead, you know?
Absolutely.
And at one time, we were all dead. We didn't have the proper knowledge of God. We didn't have the proper, you know, institution of marriage, you know?
Yes.
And I just go back to my life. Marriage was not a, you know, nothing pushed on me. You know, and it was my husband. I remember when my husband and I were dating before, you know, we got married. And my husband was like, you know, that's my wife. And he said, I don't have to go to the courthouse and get no papers for nobody to tell us we married. So, see, it's all about the ignorance that we have in our minds, is that we do as we know, you know, and we do as we're taught. So when you're not taught the way of God, you don't know the way of God. So we have to teach our people the way of God so they can choose the light and walk therein. You know, but I was once there when I did not know the way of God, and I was ignorant as heck, you know, and I was talking ignorant. But it took the Honorable Minister Farrakhan to teach me a way of life, and because it agreed with my nature, it agreed with my soul, I submitted. Because living the way that I lived before I came into the nation, it didn't give me a peace. It didn't give me satisfaction. I mean, I had a boyfriend. He was committed to me, never cheated, respectful, just like she's saying about the brother that she's dating. That's how my husband was. So I didn't, you know, I didn't say, baby, you better marry me, da 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 da, because I didn't know better. You know, so when you don't know better, you don't do better. It's when we're taught
is that's when we start rising up and do better. Now I see the difference. You know, I see that when I was in that condition, in that state of mind, there was no benefit. There was no peace. There was no contentment. There was no satisfaction. You know, but when I did it God's way, it was a peace, a satisfaction that, you know, no one could give me. You know, so sometimes, brother, is that we have to be examples for our people so they'll see the light and walk therein. If they don't see lights around them, they will keep walking in darkness because they don't see the light. You know, so our job is not to condemn our people, but to raise them up out of their condition. You know, so that's what I would say to the believers.
And also there's benefits when you get married in this world now. Women get benefits.
Yeah.
You know, and men get benefits. When you say you're married a couple, you get tax breaks, you get all kind of stuff. You know, stuff you don't get when you're single. You know, woman, I'm just saying, Sister Queen. If the man die, you can't get his check.
No, sir.
If he work on a job, you can't get his check if you're not the wife.
You're not married.
You ain't married. Yes, but if you're married, then you get that last check or that pension, whatnot. But if you just a side chick, you know, you can't get that.
You better
you
teach her that. Yes, sir.
You can't even get the life insurance policy.
In this white man's world, they have a marriage license.
That's right.
The women should actually think about that man can't run away and then say, this is mine. No, when he marries her, then therefore the white judge going to see him, or black judge or Chinese judge in America, he's going to say, okay, look, he died, or if he died, you get all of it.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? You own the house. But if you ain't got no marriage papers, you get all your life and you get nothing.
That's what Oprah did.
And all you got to do is go to the courthouse and say we want to get married. You got to think about that, my sister. That's all I want to say, Sister Queen. There's benefits in marriage now.
We got one more question. We got to go
because
we're way over time. But I promised the sister I would ask this question specifically to Sister Ruth, because she wants Sister Ruth to answer this question for her. She says she has been in courtship, oh my goodness, for 2 years.
What?
And she, hold on. She's been in courtship for 2 years. She said, he keeps telling me he's waiting on his money to get right. She say, I love him immensely. She says, but I am not going to wait anymore. When I told him I was not going to wait anymore, he told me he was not going to be forced into marriage. How do I properly walk away?
But she's not
in courtship, Sister Ruth. She's actually engaged. There has been an exchange of a ring, so she's engaged.
And when there was the engagement recently?
She said 2 years ago.
That's when she got engaged 2 years ago?
Yeah, it's two years ago.
You know what? She has to see it. What would Allah want for her? What do you want from me, Allah? You know? And that's the question she has to ask herself. Is this what Allah wants for me? Okay, he's saying that he has to get his money right. That has never been, a criteria to get married.
He is listening, Sister Ruth. Just I want you to know, he is listening with her.
Okay. You know, my husband said he wants to say something to him first. Okay. No, but the thing about it is that she has to ask herself if, let me tell you something about love, because the sound of it, they really don't know what love is. Because
you better
love
come out.
Make you do things that you don't understand. See, love makes you walk on water. See, love, you see things, you walk on faith when it comes to love.
When you love someone, you know, there is no calculation. Love is love, and no one can remove that love. You know what I'm saying? So if love is there, guess what? They're going to get married tomorrow because love is a force that no one can deny, Sister Queen. You know, love cannot be denied. Let me tell you, I was say, call myself being saved, okay? A preacher came to my house and saved me. I was so, I wanted to just be so right with God. I wanted to be saved, and he called himself saving me. But it was the love of myself and my husband had for one another. Now we're dating, and he calls me, and he says, baby, I want to see you. I just want to see you. And I said, no, I don't want you to see me. I said, because if you see me, then it's going to lead to other things. I said, so it's best just for us to talk, you know, long distance over the phone and, you know, until we get married. So he said, no, I just want to see you. And I said, okay, you know, because I loved him, I wanted to see him. But guess what? That saved spirit went out the window. It was no more saved. It was love that took over. And caused me to get, you know, get to repent.
Yes, ma'am. We know.
You know, so,
yes, ma'am.
So what? Love is a force that no one can overcome. You know,
wow.
So I would say to that sister, if love is there, that brother's going to marry her. He's not, hell, how about if he never get a big check or a the big money? That means he going to have that sister waiting forever because he waiting on money? You know, you got to ask yourself, is money more important than me? You know, is money more important than me? Then, you know, we got to depart. You know, we got to go separate ways. The minister never told a brother, you know, don't marry that sister because you broke. You ain't got no money. You know, maybe she can inspire him to make money, or she might have the wisdom and knowledge to help him become a businessman. You know, so it's that woman that's going to help him get where he's going. See, you got to have a vision. It didn't say nothing about you got to have money. Now, that's something We have added into the courtship manual, but that's not what God said. That's not what the minister taught. That's not what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught. He said vision. You know,
that's
so
right.
That's what I would say to her is that, you know, may Allah be with her. May she seek refuge in Allah through patience and prayer. And may she seek, you know, the answer from Allah. And, you know, let Allah guide her spirit because he will guide us through our prayers. You know, and I'm going to pass the phone to my husband so he can say something to the brother.
Okay, brother.
Oh, let me put my seatbelt on first. Okay, go ahead, brother Stan.
Well, I'm going to just say this to you now. I was 18 years old.
That's right, bro.
Broke.
Broke five.
Okay,
broke.
Now broke is not the lack of money.
Go ahead.
Broke is a lack of know-how to get some money.
Mm-hmm. You know.
When you love somebody, love will allow you to accomplish whatever your heart so desires.
Right.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says love never fails.
Right.
So if love never fails, why is your attempt to provide for the woman you say you love is failing?
Mm-hmm. And the message
that it's not going to fail if you really love. I was 18 years old, Sister Queen,
mm-hmm.
Brother Kadeem. And you know what? I love my wife so much.
Yes, you made it happen.
I didn't have any. I was living with my mama. I'm just saying, I was living with my mama. I had her living with my mama.
Yes. And
it was pure hell. And when she said she was not happy, and I knew she was going to leave me, I said, oh, hell, let me do something. I said, I got to get some money. And you know what?
Not
Allah's my witness. Because I prayed to God, there was a brother who actually was at my school that worked at the bank, and I told him, I said, man, my baby going to leave me if I don't do something.
Yeah.
I said, I got to do something. And he said, brother, I'm going to get you to keep your family. I'm going to get you. He's a Muslim brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to help you get a job at the bank. I said, bank won't hire me, brother. I'm sorry. He said, brother, the bank going to hire you because I'm going to use my name.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is what love. This is what love does.
Yes.
Love finds a way
go ahead.
To actually secure that which you love.
Yes.
You can't tell me, brother, that you love something and you won't secure.
Right, go ahead.
You
go
secure ahead. Everything. You lock your doors to your car. Mm-hmm. Why do you lock it? Because you want to secure that car because you love that car.
Right.
Anything you love, you protect. Anything you love, you secure. Anything you love, you won't let go. You won't let it leave your sight.
That's right. Go
and
ahead.
When I went to that bank said you are hired.
Yes.
And I went home with that uniform, and I said, baby, I got me a good job. I work at the bank. I showed her my bank check. I never had a bank account before, but love blessed me to get a bank account.
That's right. Walking on faith.
And when I, Sister Queen, joined the FOI,
yes.
I became a registered Muslim April 21st, Brother Kadeem, 1990. And when I got registered on that Saturday, my lieutenant said, now I know you with Sister Ruth and y'all ain't married. Now you registered, you can't shack.
That's
you
right.
Got to marry.
That's right.
You
got to marry.
Let her go. They got
absolutely.
You got to move out. You got to move out until y'all get married. Boy, so I ain't moving out. I love her. I said, well, I got to get married. He
that's
said,
right.
Well, you got to get married tomorrow.
That's
and the
right.
next
that's
day
right.
was Sunday. So my marriage was a holdback. I mean, after the lecture, everybody's like a holdback because there's going to be a marriage.
That's right.
I didn't have money. I didn't have a lot of money.
No, sir.
But I had love.
That's it.
I said, God will make a way out of no way, but I love that woman, and I'm not going to let no other man have her because I love her.
That's right.
So you can't tell me for 2 years,
go
brother,
ahead. Go ahead.
That you cannot find no way to take care of that woman.
That's right. Love's not deep enough.
Because I know a man. If a man really wants something, a real man, he's going to get it. If you want
that's
them
right.
shoes, you're going to find a way to get it.
That's right.
I was in the streets walking around with Jordan's dollar shoes and ain't got no job. How they get them Jordan? Because they wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They wanted it.
All right.
Don't play with that sister's mind like that, brother.
That's right.
2 years ain't no way. And that's not courtship. 2 years, that's nigga shit.
That's right.
Pardon
that's
my
right.
expression. What do you mean by that?
That's
because
right.
the teaching of the most underlined number, courtship should not last no more than 6 months. Then when you get engaged, the messenger said, marry quick.
That's right.
Because
right.
there's no way you could be engaged for that long without breaking the law.
That's right.
And the Bible said it better be married than be burned.
Mm-hmm.
So I would tell you, brother, man up. And whatever your purse string is, live on that. And then you find a brother in the house of God that's making money and ask him, taking care of his family, ask him to guide you.
That's right.
But don't tell her that, you know, you're trying to make money, you stringing her on for 2 years. So the queen, Brother Kadeem, and I know men, ain't no way for 2 years you can't find no way to take care of a woman.
No, that's right.
Ain't no
hell
way.
Yeah.
Sister, don't
no way.
That. Let them know that, hey, look, if you don't have enough love for me to find some money to actually take care of me, it ain't got to be no mansion.
That's right.
That's right.
It could be a
one-bedroom
house or apartment or a studio.
That's right.
But as long as you got love in that studio, that's a palace.
Mm-hmm. What you say?
And y'all grow economically together.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man.
That's how I was saying to that, Sister Queen.
Sister Queen.
Okay. Okay, I was reading the message that she was sending back to me. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
She said she giving him to this weekend, and he said
praise
by this weekend.
All right.
Sister, there's a saying that if a woman buy a man's shoes, did he leave? Sister, ask that brother for a pair of shoes this weekend, and if he don't marry you, walk away with them shoes on your feet. So that brother have played with you. No, really, that's not our way.
You told the whole world a lie.
Because
listen,
the minister not on the line, but I believe with all my heart, my mind, my soul, he'll tell you, sister, walk away today. Today, right now, before the conversation out.
But let me say this before we go. You know, what I know I can bear witness to is that I've been a marriage counselor for 27 years, and I've been in the nation for almost 50, and we have heard so many different stories and so many different outlines of the law as it relates to courtship and to marriage. And, you know, I think we're finally at a point where we're getting the same message across the board. Now, there in Washington, D.C., under Minister Kadir, I don't even know how y'all got away with that, but whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so inshallah, I better hear about a wedding this weekend, and if not, I'm coming to Washington, D.C., because I don't like nobody lying to me, and I'm going to put my foot so far. No, I'm just playing. But, you know, let's just be honest, you know, with each other. We don't even understand how we destroy one another with lies, how we set ourselves up for failure when we have unrealistic expectations. Let us study the law. Let us study the rules and understand the process of courtship, understand what your duty is as a husband, what your duty is as a wife. Prepare and qualify yourself for marriage and stop playing with one another. The sisters are just as bad as the brothers, and I hear it from both sides. Sisters are stringing brothers along, brothers sing stringing sisters along, but we are in the time, we're in the valley of decision, where if you don't believe that Allah is all-knowing and all-seeing, he'll prove it to you in a minute, and I mean literally in a minute. So our grace period is up, especially for those of us who claim that we know the truth, especially for those of us who say we bear witness to the power of Allah and we mistreat one another, because that is your reflection of Islam. I don't care what post you hold. I don't care how many final calls you sell. How you treat your brother and sister determines your Islam. So you cannot think that you are pleasing Allah when you mistreat one another, and lying and leading someone on and being deceptive and mistreating one another, even in brotherhood and sisterhood, let alone in marriage, you are not going to make it. So we need to build a nation. We need to get married. We need to stay married. We need to keep Allah as the centerpiece of our marriage, as I learned from Sister Ruth and Brother Stanley, because I don't care what we're talking about, they're going to always bring us back to the foundation of Allah. That is our foundation. Right. And so Brother Stanley has so graciously shared scriptures that you can go to and refer to in your marriage. Stop running to your cousin, your homeboy, your mom and them. Go to God, as it is written in scripture, and let that be your roadmap to success in marriage. We are almost an hour over time, and so many of you have stayed with us, and we lost a few people too, but thank you, and I'm going to give each and every one of you an opportunity to say something in closing. So, Sister Ruth, we're going to let the queen go first. Sister Ruth, anything you want to say to us in closing?
Yes, ma'am. I want to thank you, Sister Queen Aziza, for your invitation and for using, you know, my struggles and my success in marriage, you know, as a bear witness of the power of Allah, because I know that when you put Allah first, there's no such thing as impossibility, you know, because with Him, everything is possible. And I bear witness because, you know, I live striving to be one with Him. And I know that when we put Him first, you know, He makes things happen. When we, you know, when we think that it cannot happen, He shows us that it can happen. And I have witnessed that so many times when our faith is weak and He strengthens our faith by His work. So, you know, I definitely bear witness to that. And I thank you, sister, for blessing me and honoring me to share my story. And I pray to Allah that I have helped my people, you know, believers, non-believers, you know, our people that are coming out of the, you know, a world that has, you know, shaped us and molded us into, you know, not knowing the right way. I pray that I have said something or shared something that has given them some kind of light. And I greet all, everyone, in the greeting words of peace of As-Salaamu Alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Sister Ruth. And we appreciate you and Brother Stanley for being so open with your marriage and with your experience. And we have learned a lot from you. And we're going to keep learning from you. So, I don't, you know, don't act like this your final show or nothing, because that ain't going to happen. So, but we thank you, dear sister. We thank you so much. And Brother Stanley, any final words?
Sister Queen, I want to also, too, thank you for the glorious and wonderful opportunity to be able to share over these airwaves the life-giving teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, as taught by the Honorable Mistress Farrakhan. As Isaiah 43:10 says, ye are my witnesses.
Yes, sir.
And whenever a good man is lied upon, it's a good witness that will stand and vindicate that good man.
That's right.
And we are ones who vindicate, you know, the Honorable Mensuous Farrakhan from Satan, who tried to trash his name. But we are a marriage that's rooted in God, that's surviving the wiles of Satan. Because of that man, he's the one who's keeping us together, the Honorable Mensuous Farrakhan. He's guiding us in our marriage. And I want to tell you all out in the listening audience, if you really want to keep your marriage strong, get the keys to a successful marriage by the Honorable Mensuous Farrakhan. Get the lecture, How to Give Birth to a God, by the Honorable Mensuous Farrakhan. And I want to